Anybody on the left side? You with? All right, there we go. In stereo. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The Lord being our helper, verse number 11, the Bible speaks about the salvation appearing to all men. Verse number 13, the Bible talks about another appearing, the appearing of Jesus Christ, the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. With the Lord helping me today, I want to talk to you about living between grace and glory. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. Father, we pray, Lord, that we'd ask you to be with us today. We ask you, Lord, to speak to every heart and speak to every life. Father, encourage the church of Jesus Christ today. Lord, these are your people, the sheep of your pasture. And we ask you, Lord, to allow the Spirit of God to be with us these next few moments. And Father, prepare our hearts for Jesus Christ's return. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Would you shake two or three hands before you're seated today? Tell somebody it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's boxing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The Bible talks, first of all, about this past appearance of salvation. Notice verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That past appearance of grace. What is Titus referring to? What is this disciple of God talking about? Friend, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ bringing salvation to this whole world. And that's getting worse instead of better. And so the grace of God bringing salvation to the whole world. That the grace of God wrapped in flesh, the Son of God, amen, coming to this world to bring salvation to all our hearts and all our lives. He said that it hath appeared, or it hath broken forth, it hath shined forth in this world. The appearance of Jesus Christ as the Savior from sin. Oh, thank God today that Jesus Christ, he brought salvation. Amen. You could not get to Jesus. Friend, you could not get to God. And so the word of the Lord said that Jesus Christ brought salvation to us. Amen. Thank God for that day that Mary wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes and this world welcomed in the Son of God to this world, and the angels began to glorify God in the highest. Thank God that salvation was appearing to all men, or that it is a universal gospel, that there's not an American gospel and there's not a European gospel. I mean, there's not a Russian gospel. There's not a Panamanian gospel. There's not a Spanish gospel, but there is one gospel. Amen. And Buddha is not part of that salvation. Amen. Muhammad is not part of that salvation. Hare Krishna is not part of that salvation. Amen, friend, there's only one way to be saved, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away sins. Amen, I'm not a politician. I don't have to be politically correct and try to recognize all religions and tell you that all religions lead to God. Amen, I'm just a preacher of the gospel. Amen, and friend, there's only one way to get to God's good heaven, and it's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad salvation hath appeared to all men. Oh yes, friend, that it's a universal gospel, not just geographically, but as far as sin is concerned as well. Amen. Whether you thought maybe you wasn't that bad, bad of a sinner, or maybe you thought you were just a full-fledged sinner. Maybe you felt like you were Paul, that you were the chiefest of all sinners. Or maybe you thought, well, I'm just a little bit of a sinner. But the Jesus Christ I know is able to save to the uttermost. Amen. He's able to reach down in the gutters of sin. He's able, my friend. Amen. Whatever the sin, whatever the despair, the Bible said that Jesus Christ hath appeared to all men, and he brought salvation, that he didn't bring peace, although that's good. He brought joy, and that's good. He brought a lot of things with him, but most of all, more than peace, more than joy, more than contentment, I needed saved. I said I needed washed in the blood of Jesus, and the Bible said that he brought grace into our life. Are you glad to be saved today? Amen. Oh yes. And so he said, grace, it hath appeared once and for all, that we look back to Calvary's hill, and grace appeared. 2,000 years later, we're still pointing sinners back to the cross, back to the blood of Jesus, back to salvation at Golgotha's hill. But I want to preach to you about the other appearance as well. For your Bible said that we're looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's going to be another appearance of Jesus. Amen. When he steps out on the balcony of glory, that Gabriel lifts that golden trumpet to his lips and trumpets the resurrection sound throughout all the ages. When the dead in Christ are going to rise first, then you and I, which are washed in the blood, are going to begin to rise to meet them in the air. Amen. What a day that's going to be, when my Jesus I shall see. Friend, that's the next appearance of Jesus Christ. Amen. Those that are looking for him, the Bible said he's coming as a thief in the night. I got my eyes looking for him. Your Bible said that every eye shall behold him. Every tongue will confess him. Every knee's gonna bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. When he brought grace, he came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But when he comes in glory, the humanity will be laid aside. His deity will shine forth. Amen. The first time he came as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But the next time he comes, he's coming as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The first time he came, he allowed him to take a spear and pierce his side. And that divine blood, it coursed the ground and saved the world. But the next time he comes, he's coming with the scepter as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. The first time he came, he allowed him to take a plaited crown of thorns and put it upon his head and pierce the sinless Son of God. But the next time he comes, he'll be wearing the crown of many crowns. He'll be wearing the crown as the sovereign of this universe. Oh, angels, let them bow before him. Amen. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, hail the power in Jesus' name. He came the first time, oh yes, friend, to provide a way of salvation. But the next time he comes, he'll rule the world. The first time he came in the humility, amen, in shepherd's clothes, in shepherd's surrounding, with just a few peasants announcing his arrival. But the next time he comes, I said the next time he comes, and I said he's coming again. The next time he comes, every eye shall see him, every tongue will confess him. I said, that's my Jesus. That's the Lord of glory. I know. Wouldn't you love for it to happen today? I'm ready for Jesus to come again. Amen. I'm homesick for the portals of glory. What a day.
day that's going to be when we see Jesus. Do you have your eyes on Jesus today? Are you a little distracted by the cares of life? What about the problems of life? What about the affairs in your family? Are you distracted by some of the things of this world? Amen, friend. Take another look. It may be in the morning. It may be at noon. I don't know when it's coming, but I know he's coming soon. I would to God it be today we could rise to meet him in the air. I said I'm ready to go see Jesus. If you're glad to see him, if you're ready to see him, if you're wanting him to come, why don't you just lift a hand toward heaven and say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, Brother Ralston, me saying, Lord, come quickly, it's not going to change anything. You're right. But John got so wrapped up in it. John wanted him to come. When John said, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Yeah, you can get so excited about Jesus coming. You just say, Lord, come on. Would you come on and get your church? Would you come on and get us right now? Amen, that's the way I feel, friend. Amen, we're living between grace. Amen, are you getting that today? Amen, we're living between grace that appeared on Calvary and the glorious return of Jesus Christ. We're living between those two. Amen. So what did the Bible say to do when you're living between grace? The first thing, amen, God's going to teach us some things. We've got to learn some things. He said learn, amen, to deny ungodliness, deny worldly lust. We've got to live right. We've got to live pure. We've got to live separated from the world. That's why Matthew 3:8 said, bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus, if any man will come unto me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's why Paul said, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. That's why Paul said, amen, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Amen. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father it is not in him. Amen. When you're living between grace and glory, you've got to learn, amen, to stay separated from the world. In a world where the church is moving toward the world and the world is moving toward the church, and it's so convoluted, you don't know who is who like never before. Amen. Let the church of Jesus Christ, amen, be that glorious city that is set on a hill like never before. Let's have the spirit of holiness. Let's love God. Let's love God's word. Let's stay separated and touch not the unclean thing. God's going to have a church, and it's going to be a holiness church. Make no mistake about it. He said, oh, perfect holiness in the fear of God. Amen. You've got to learn. You've got to learn to deny it. Number two, you've got to live. Some people say that when you got saved, you started living. And that's exactly how I feel about it. Amen. I don't feel dead at all this morning. Amen. I feel alive in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, friend. Amen. Some of your family members probably say, well, they got religion, they got legalism, they this and they that. But notice what he said. When you're between grace and glory, he said, you've learned how to live. Live soberly or equitably. Amen. Live reverently. Live discreetly. Live righteously. righteously, live godly. I don't need a bracelet telling me what would Jesus do. I've got a New Testament full of what Jesus did. I don't need somebody to tell me to wear a little necklace telling me to remind me what would Jesus do. I'm trying to live up what I know is in his word. I'm trying to measure up to the standard of Jesus Christ. And what troubles me, you'll not be measured by anybody else. You'll be measured by the standard of Jesus Christ. How does my worship measure up to that standard? How does my purity measure up to that standard? How does my preaching measure up to that standard? I say, I can do a lot better. I want to go a lot higher. I want to go a lot deeper. Friend, you started living when you got saved. He said, when you're between grace and glory, live soberly, live righteously, live godly. Amen. That is not up for debate. That is not up for a vote from the deacons. It's not up for a vote from the Sunday school teachers. Amen. I said that's God's infallible, unchanging, unadulterated word. It'll be the same tomorrow. It'll be the same next year because it is God's word. Live. Finally, and this is what really troubles me, because I hear a lot of people clamoring for learning, learning, learning. We want to learn. Teach us, but not really. They just want, for the world's sake, most of all, they just want confirmation what they already want to do. A lot of people are saying, give us doctrine, give us something. Really, they're not wanting to be taught the word of the Lord. You really bring in a Bible expositor to teach them the word of God. They might not even come but one night during a revival. They really don't know. I want to know the word of the Lord. I can tell you that by how many Bible verses have you memorized this year? Memorized. How many Bible verses you memorized in the last 5 years? Because most of us read our Bible like this. Oh yeah, I need to make up my grocery list. Oh yeah, I need to remind him to do this. Oh, I need to get that oil changed in the car. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Amen. Oh, help us, Jesus. Living. Live it. But finally, and this is where we're at more now than ever before. When I was growing up, when you started, I think about when you got in this thing. I'm 36 years old. I remember when I was little, I started hearing about the coming of the Lord. Every week or two, somebody said something about the coming of the Lord. I mean, if somebody saw something out in the sky, they coming to the Lord, coming to the Lord, coming to the Lord, coming to the Lord, coming to the Lord. Somebody get up and testify. You know, I was praying the other day, and so-and-so was late, and I got worried that I might have missed the coming of the Lord. And I just, let me ask you this. Do you think the church is becoming more comfortable in this world? Do you hear about people talking about the coming of the Lord like they used to? I don't know what it was like 100 years ago, obviously. I don't know what it was like in the New Testament. But I do know they greeted each other with a name that indicated the Lord is coming. Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. The Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. How many really realize we're on the threshold of the coming of the Lord? Do you really feel that way about it? Amen. When you look around the events of this world, think about it. What needs to take place? What needs to transpire? With the trouble of the Middle East, with the rise of certain nations, there's no Bible prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ could come again.
And it's like you're trying to tell your children, hey man, go do something, and they're just occupied with what they've got going on in the floor. You know, I got one of my children. I mean, you've got to make eye contact. I mean, if he is focused in, and I let, now you got a 50-50 chance of figuring out who it is. But if he is occupied with something right here, you've got to make eye contact. I mean, you got to break him from his concentration on what he's doing right there. I know what they call that, and he's got it. Amen. But I'm gonna tell you, friend. Amen. The church is a lot like that. I mean, we come into a church service, and it's like a child occupied with what they got going in the floor. I mean, we got good singing. I mean, we've got anointed singing. I mean, we've got good things going on. It's not that we don't have a church full of people, but when somebody begins to talk about, amen, Jesus Christ is coming, amen, we ought to get excited about that. We ought to be rejoicing about that. It's that same spirit, amen, just playing with tiddlywinks in the floor, amen, clueless to what's going on. Amen, hear me this morning, amen, the trumpet call, amen, Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen, make eye contact with Jesus today. Why don't you wake up and hear what heaven is saying? Heaven is saying, get ready. Any man that hath that hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Heaven is saying, if you believe on me, believe also in God. In my Father's house, I'm in mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But if I go away, I go away to prepare a place, that where I am, there you may be also. But I left that part out, that when he said, if I go away, I will come again. Ah, friend, that's how I feel today. I said, Jesus Christ is coming today. And the Bible said, when you're living between grace and glory, look, look, look for the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of folks, they're looking around, they're worried about everybody else, they're looking back, they're looking back at failure, they're looking back at regret. There's a lot of folks that are looking down, they're looking down in defeat, they're looking down at discouragement, they're looking down at the world, but a true child of God that is between grace and glory, look up. I said, look up, and Jesus Christ is coming again. Matthew 24 says that the love of many shall wax cold, but when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up. Your redemption, it draweth nigh. Hey, church, I'm trying to get you to look up. Quit looking around. Quit looking down. Quit looking back. I said, look up. Look up. And Jesus Christ, the great God, the only God, the true God. Are you ready this morning? Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's lift a hand toward heaven. Let's ask God, amen, to speak to us here this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, look up, look up, look up, look up this morning. Do you see the Lord of glory? Do you see the Lord of glory? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's been a few years since I read this story. And I'll remember the best of my ability, but I may have a little detail wrong or two. But I remember when they were looking through the ruins of Pompeii and all that volcanic ash from that eruption. One thing stood out to the investigators, and there was a woman that had been so overcome by the eruption of all that volcano. Whatever the scientific term would be, vulcanized, whatever the scientific term would be. But she had went back into a house, and she had reached into a jewel box and was gathering jewels. And that's how she died. She was frozen in time, just like that. Stooped over, reaching for treasures out of a box. I don't know if she was married. I don't know if she had children. I don't know if those were hers or she was stealing from somebody else. But she did know judgment's coming. But maybe I got a few more minutes just to gather some jewels
and some crowns. Amen. That's the way the spirit of this world is. Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. There's a lot of folks, I know he's coming, but give me a few more days. I know he's coming. There's young folks, I know he's coming. I know he's coming, but just one more date, one more party, one more good time, one more year out. Amen. I know he's coming. And there's a father that says, I know I'm not being the daddy I should be, but oh, one more boat. Amen. One more trip, one more time. And then the trumpet sounds. And that sail, they'll be frozen in time. If the trumpet sounds today, I don't want to be looking back. I don't want to be looking around. I don't want to be looking down. I want to be looking up. I said, I want to be looking up. He's my Savior. He's my hope. He's my joy. He's my peace. Friend, if we miss the coming of the Lord, we've missed everything. I said, we've missed everything. So we're living between grace and glory this morning. Maybe you look around and say, I don't understand all of this holiness thing. Well, you need to ask God to teach you. You got to learn it. Teaching us that denying ungodliness is not. You teach it. The Spirit of God teaches us. That we should live righteously, godly, and soberly. There's some things that may get past the test of righteousness. It's just not passing the test of soberness. Godly, righteously, and soberly, equitably, seriously, discreetly. Live it. Don't just learn it. Live it. And once you live it, it'll cause you to begin to look. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is coming, friend. If there's anything that ought to make you excited in your spiritual soul, it is he's coming. He's coming. Oh, Father, we love you today. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for this congregation, Lord. I pray you speak to everyone.